Hello everyone, and welcome aboard the Jungle Cruise. My name is Jonathan, and I'll be your skipper, guide, social director, and dance instructor. Oh, wait a second. Wrong script. Hold on. Give me a second. Here we go. Hello, and welcome back to Through the Word. Pastor Jonathan here, ready to take you into 1 Peter chapter 1. Have you ever felt completely out of place? Like you just didn't belong? I'm not talking about wearing jeans and a t-shirt to a black tie event. I'm talking more of being in a place where everything and everyone surrounding you is against you. I studied biology and psychology at a school where, well, let's just say the professors were not welcoming to faith. I used to joke around that if I took philosophy, I would have had the unholy trinity of an anti-faith education. In many classes, I stood out as an oddball, a Christian who stood for the truth of the Bible. I often had the feeling of not belonging, of being an outcast. And this is why I love 1 Peter. Peter wrote to Christians who were going through serious trials and persecutions. They didn't fit in, and they no longer belonged to the world. On top of that, financial struggles, illnesses, temptations, well, pretty much what we're all facing today. And Peter, addressing his letter to the chosen exiles, both the first century believers and those facing trials today, has a word for us on how to live as God's exiles here on earth. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. A living hope. God's mercy has given us a new hope, and it has nothing to do with the force. Our hope is alive, and in our trials, our hope shines all the brighter. Hope that there is something more than this world. There is an inheritance waiting for us, an inheritance that cannot be destroyed, polluted, or taken away from us. But not only is this inheritance secure, so are we. We are being shielded and preserved, not by our own power, but by the power of God. This inheritance is going to be simply amazing. But until we fully experience that inheritance, we will face trials. Verse 6, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We touched on this in the introduction to the book, but it's a good reminder. God has a plan for our suffering. Trials and struggles in our life test us, as fire tests precious metals. Not a test to see if we are strong enough, but a test that actually makes us stronger, that purifies us. Now, the next section of this chapter is bookended with one of the greatest words of the entire Bible, hope. Verse 13, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace that is to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. And verse 21, through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Peter's command for Christians facing struggles? Set your hope on the future coming of Christ. If we want to do more than just survive this world, if we want to rise above the trials and struggles of our lives, we must become people who hope in the promises of God. And that hope, well, it should change the way we live. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Be holy. Now that doesn't mean be perfect and without sin, because that is just impossible in this life. Holy simply means set apart, belonging to God. We might not belong to this world anymore, but we do belong to God, and we are commanded to be holy. And verse 17 continues, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. This fear is not a fear in a shaking in your boots kind of way, but rather a reverence, a respect for what the Lord has done for you. As verse 18 continues, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Before we were saved, our lives were empty, but Jesus redeemed. He paid a price that gives our lives value and meaning and purpose. and not with cheap stuff like gold. He redeemed us with his own blood. Knowing the value that God placed on us should encourage us to live holy. But our relationship with God is not the only relationship to be changed. Verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. A changed relationship with God will result in a changed relationship with God's children. When we're born again, our lives will show it with sincere and earnest love for others. God calls us to hope, to holiness, and now to harmony. Now, Peter uses two different words for love in this verse, phileo, which is a brotherly love, and agape, which is a godlike, sacrificial love. Now, we need both kinds of love in our relationships with others. But why is something so important so hard to do? One of the most common human traits is selfishness. There are very few people, maybe no one, that is naturally selfless. Anyone who has kids, or has worked with kids, or let's be honest here, has been a kid at any point, knows it's true. We think only of ourselves. But God has changed us, has purified our hearts, so that we can have the sincere, deep love for each other. Romans 5 tells us, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And 1 John 4 says, Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This love we share must be both sincere and deep. Sincere love, without hypocrisy. This isn't an, I'll show you love so you love me and do what I want you to do kind of love. This is a, I'm going to love you no matter what because I simply love you kind of love. And deep love. The word here is actually borrowed from athletics. It means to strive with all your energy. Peter is basically saying that if love were an Olympic sport, go for the gold. We must fight for this love, strive for it, even when we don't feel like it. These early believers were experiencing trials and persecutions from a world in which they didn't belong. They were outcasts, living like refugees and foreigners, even in their own cultures. And Peter calls them to live a life of hope, a life of holiness, and a life of harmony. Show each other and the world around them that they do belong to the family of God. The same is true today, listeners. We don't belong to the world we live in. We face trials, persecutions, and difficulties simply because we belong to the family of God. So how should we live our lives? Hope, holiness, and harmony. By doing so, we find a place where we belong, where we find others who understand, fellow refugees in this world, outcasts for our faith, where we, by the power of God's Spirit, can grow together in the family of God.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.